V's for supporting us. It's good to see everybody. So we had an amazing Super Bowl this year. How many people were following it? That's it? Oh, dear. I'm going to be talking to the uneducated. Nobody knows what happened in the Super Bowl?
Supposedly they did. They had a miraculous ending or whatever.
They were down 28-3 in the middle of the third quarter. So somebody gave me a statistic just a couple of days ago. I was doing a little more research on it. So how many times in the history of the Super Bowl, of the NFL, here we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of games, how many times has a team come back from 25-point deficit? Ever. At any point in the game, they were down by 25 points and they came back to win. The whole history of the NFL.
Never.
Anybody have
a... There was a Bills game.
Four times.
There was a... Oh, four times.
Four times in, I think, what was it? 20,000 games.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, we're not even talking about the Super Bowl. So there's got to be some lessons here. Besides the fact that obviously miracles do happen, I don't know if you want to... That's what certainly... if you're, you know, there are people who, as I see, I think there are three levels. There were the, I see many of the people here don't even know or couldn't care less. Is that the general audience that I'm talking to?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, then there's the middle level. Oh, yeah, wow, that was amazing, very interesting. And then there are people who live it. And it's like, you know, they really, and no, we see, but you talk to some of them.
Michael Sage threw a kibbutz at the same.
He threw a kibbutz? All I know is that I sent him an email the next morning saying there must be a lot of simcha in the Sage home.
He was at the game.
I know he was. I know that.
He was very excited.
So let's put it on the side for a minute then and talk a little bit about Purim. And see, I really think there's a lot of lessons. I mean, it's ironic that we need to use the Super Bowl, but apparently if I don't have a lot of people who really are very interested, so maybe we'll forget the lessons from the Super Bowl and go straight to the Torah. But today's Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, and everybody knows Mishenichnas Adar. Yeah, but you don't. But you've got to listen carefully to the real source, the authentic source, because you very much took the source out of context. Okay, so the Mishnah, it's a Gemara, it's a Brisa, but it's built on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mishenichnas Av, Mimatim B'Simcha. That's the Mishnah. That when Av enters, we minimize Simcha. Okay, and then the Brisa says, I'm sorry, it's not even a brisa, it's an Amoraic statement. Amar Yehuda, Greater of Shmuel, Amar Bar Shilat, Mishmei Durav. Listen carefully to the words. There's one very key word here. Okay? Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim Basimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Basimcha. Just as when Av comes in, we minimize Simcha, so too when Adar comes in, we amplify Simcha. Okay? So that's where the words come from. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, but that's only the last four words of a much longer Talmudic statement. Okay, the Talmudic statement compares the minimization of Simcha in Adar with the amplification of Simcha. The minimization of Simcha in Av with the amplification of Simcha in Adar. Okay, it's an inverse mirror relationship. There's one key word here that doesn't make any sense. Anybody pick it up? You wouldn't, because it was the first word and it got swallowed up. Kishem shemishenichnas av memati v'simcha, kach mishenichnas adar mar v'simcha. Kishem in Talmudic language means that there is some connection, there's a fundamental connection that it's the same force, kishem, the same force that generates the minimization of simcha in Av, that same force generates an amplification of simcha in Av. And that's very mysterious, doesn't make any sense. And it becomes even more complicated, which again, as usual, the complication is sometimes what can unlock the mystery, is the Rashi. All right? Now when you hear Mishenichnas other marbi mesimcha, and I ask you why. So what would the answer be? Why? Well, what's so special about other? Which is, and what, and so what's so special about poor? And why does that, why would that lead to an increase in joy?
It's a great miracle.
A great miracle. Excellent. A great miracle. So now let's listen to Rashi. What miracle? The miracle. What miracle in Adar?
Purim, obviously.
Purim, obviously. Obviously. So now let's just listen to a Rashi. Mishenichnas Adar Yemei Nisim Hoyu LiYisrael. Everybody, so far so good, right? Purim the Pesach. We're in Adar, right? What is Purim and what is Pesach doing here? Okay, that's the Rashi. That's the Rashi. Okay. Next, so we have the pasuk in the Megillah and the famous Gemara on that pasuk. He built poor, who had goral, right? That Haman threw lots, and of course the lot came out in an Adar. Kiven shenafal poor bechodesh Adar. Samach simcha gedol. Haman was overjoyed. Why was Haman overjoyed?
Because that was the day that Moshe, the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed.
Says the Gemara, Omar nafali pur biyerach shemeid bo Moshe. Great, perfect timing. Very propitious time to destroy the Jews. Continues the Gemara, what went wrong? Behu lo yah, the lo haya yodea, she b'shiva b'adar meis u b'shiva b'adar nola. So what did he miss?
Moshe was also born. Moshe was also born.
Born?
On the same day, Zayin Adar.
So you notice what you said. You said it correctly, but many people miss it. It doesn't say that, oh, so he was happy that he came out in Adar because Moshe was born and died in Adar, and he forgot that Moshe was also born in...
Well, the same day.
In Adar. So it doesn't say that he was born in Adar. He was born on the same day. Why is that important? In other words, what I was expecting it to say, and the way most people say it if they don't see the source inside, is that, yeah, Adar was the month that he died, but he was also the month that he's born, so it's okay. Well, I don't know why that makes it okay, because what came first? He was born or he died?
Born.
He was born first, and then he died. Right? And Rashi there does say the idea is that the somehow or other, the fact that he was born on that day undid the negativity of him dying on that, but he was born before he died. It died after he was born. So, what's going on here? Okay. Okay.
You could also imagine that if he knew that he died that day, he would have also known that he was born that day.
But he didn't know. It says Hulo Yada.
Hulo Yada.
He didn't know. He didn't know. No, but what Chazal are telling us is the reason why was his calculation correct? His calculation that the month of Adar is an appropriate time to destroy the Jews because it's the month that Moshe died. Was that a correct calculation or an incorrect
calculation? If he didn't know that that was the month day where he was born, then yes, obviously it was...
No, you're putting more words than you need to put. The answer is 100% correct. It was a 100% correct calculation.
Okay.
The month of Adar was the most propitious time for the Jews to be destroyed because it was the month that Moshe died. It just says that what he didn't realize... In other words, his calculation was correct, except for one little minor detail. Moshe was born on the same day, died on the same day that he was born. But the calculation was fundamentally correct. There was something that short-circuited the calculation, and that something was that he was born on the same, and that he died on the same day that he was born. So how did that short-circuit what was basically a good calculation? Okay? So the Mishnah that talks about the Mishenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha recounts two days of destruction in the Jewish people. There's the Shivas or Tammuz and the ninth of Av. Which is a worse fast day? Which is worse? Bigger tragedies? Tisha B'Av. Ninth of Av, and the tragedies that are listed. The Maral points out that each of the five tragedies listed on Shivas or Tammuz were reversible tragedies. Even the fact that the tablets were broken, so he could come back with others. All the tragedies in the Shivas or Tammuz are reversible tragedies. The tragedies on Tisha B'Av were irreversible tragedies. Okay? the walls of the city were breached on Shiva Sarvatamos, but that wasn't the end. Destruction of the temple. The fact that the Jews could not go into Eretz Yisrael. How was that the end? Well, because the original process, says the Maral, the plan, the master plan was, you leave Egypt, you get the Torah, and you go into Eretz Yisrael. That was the progression. And when the Jews cried on Tisha B'Av, basically that was aborted. And the connection now to Eretz Yisrael was irreversibly damaged. Okay? The damage was irreversible. Okay, that's why we could go into exile. Had the Jews, the Maral says, had the Jews not, if the Rambam had not done what they did, and the plan would have played itself out, so they would have left Egypt. Well, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the effect of Yetzias Mitzrayim, eternal or reversible? The effect of Yetzias Mitzrayim, eternal or reversible?
Eternal.
You're not sure.
No, eternal.
Eternal. Matan Torah, eternal or reversible?
Eternal.
Have we then gone into Eretz Yisrael? Then the connection to Eretz Yisrael also would have been eternal. But because it was aborted in the middle, when we went in, it became reversible, and that's why we could go into exile. Okay? Let's talk about Simcha. We'll talk about joy. So when a baby is born, I'm going to compare, again, remember, the Chazal are comparing the birth of Moshe, they're connecting the birth of Moshe with the death of Moshe. Now normally, when a baby is born, tremendous Simcha. Okay? One of the sources, we don't think about it deeply enough, the reason of the source of Simcha is unlimited potential. Right? When something is at the beginning, then the potential is unlimited. Okay? Of course, actuality never lives up to potential. Anybody who ever went on a vacation knows that. Right? The expectations are never met in reality. Okay? There's potential, and actualization of potential is never 100%. Okay? When a person dies, that's the end of the potential. As long as a person's alive, the potential always has the potential to be actualized. When a person dies, that's it. It's finished. Okay? And since reality always falls short of the expectations, that's part of the reason why there's sadness in death. It's it. It's finished. There's nothing more that we can do about it. Death is the end. It's the conclusion. Okay? It's the, we'll call the termination point. Okay? Now, when we reach the end, there are two ways we could reach the end. Okay? A process can be terminated. But there's another way to reach the end. The process can be completed. What's the difference between having the process terminated and a process completed?
The potential was fulfilled.
And then?
If it was completed.
If it was completed. And then?
There's no sadness in death.
There's no sadness in the fact of what could have been.
Because the process.
Because
if
it completed, yeah.
And then, that could be a springboard for more accomplishment. See, when you terminate the process, it's the end. When you complete the process, that completed process can now be the springboard for another beginning. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Moshe Rabbeinu brought us the Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, one could view it as the process of the Jewish people receiving the Torah has terminated. It's finished. Okay? Well, when the Jewish people are not involved anymore in receiving Torah, that could be that spells the end of the Jewish people. Okay? So Haman saw that Moshe died. In other words, Moshe was bringing the Torah to him, now he died. That's it. In other words, the process of the Jew connecting to Torah was terminated. Okay? And that's what Haman saw. Because now that he's dead, it's over. What did he miss? Say Chazal, what he missed, what's represented by Moshe dying on the same day that he was born, means that he actualized 100% of his potential. His death didn't signify an end. His death signified a completion. So now we have two ways to reach the end. We can reach the end terminating, and we can reach the end in completion. So the month of Adar, what is it? Is it the end, or is it the completion? Of what? Well, if it's the completion, what did the month of Adar, if it's the completion, what's it the completion of?
The year.
Where did the year start?
Nisan.
So at least now we have a way to somehow or other connect that Rashi of the Nisim of Purim and Pesach. See, but there's a radical difference between the miracles of Pesach, Nisan, and the miracles of Adar Purim. What's the radical difference?
Tevo.
Supernatural versus hidden. Okay? So, we have the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, that the source of our belief in God was revelation and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental. And the Ramban uses the famous language, we'll modernize it. God did lots of miracles for us. Okay? And it was clear. Overt miracles. All right, but now, what do people say today? Yeah, God, what did you do for me today? I didn't see any miracles. I didn't see any miracles. Show me miracles. Right? So the Ramban says, well, God doesn't do miracles for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Okay, that would be the modern phraseology of what the Ramban says. That's why, says the Ramban, the transmission of Yetzias Mitzrayim, those mitzvahs of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to concretize for us the transmission of those supernatural miracles. Okay? They serve as the foundation. The Ramban writes this famous line, is that those supernatural miracles serve as the foundation to recognize that even in all of nature and all of the hidden miracles, it's all God doing miracles. Famous Ramban at the end of Parsha's book. So, during the first temple period, it was a time of miracles. Temple is destroyed. That sounds like, why is the temple destroyed? It's because God basically is punishing us, and he's abandoning us. Now, what was supposed to happen after the temple was destroyed? What was the prophecy? Sorry?
It was supposed to call us until the actual third base of Mikdash.
I'm in the destruction of the first temple.
Right, but the second wasn't really.
Why are you skipping into the? The first temple was just destroyed. Now what's supposed to happen?
70 years
of Golos, and then
rebuild.
That was prophecy. 70 years of Golos and the rebuilding of the second temple.
Weren't the prophecies of the end of days before, and then they had the prophecies of the 70 years?
Yeah. Right now we're talking about when the temple was destroyed, the first temple was destroyed, they were given prophecy that the exile is for 7 years, and then you're going to come back. That was the prophecy when the first temple was destroyed. So, what was Ahasuerus's party?
The end of the 70 years.
Calculation.
The end of, well, that,
well,
that
he, what? Yeah, right, his calculation of the end of the 70 years.
That what?
That the 7 years had passed, so he thought, okay, they're not going to go back, now we can party.
Because the prophecy was 70 years, it didn't happen, so what did that say?
It means the base of Mikdash is never going to come back. That's the relationship,
the relationship has been severed. The relationship that existed through miraculous communication and manifestation, it's over. It's over! And he's making a party. Okay, now, why are the Jews attending that party? They're scared. They're afraid that if they don't attend that party, they're going to be in big trouble. So they attended the party. Okay? They thought that by attending the party, they're going to help themselves. But of course, what do Chazal tell us? Remember, you've got to view, we read the Megillah in, 35 minutes, 25 minutes if you're fasting, and 45 minutes if you're not. This year you won't be fasting, so we'll probably read it a little bit slower. But the Megillah happened over a 9-year period. Okay? So they went to the party, and 9 years later, Haman appears on the scene. Now, and of course, what do the Jews attribute Haman's decrees to? What did they blame Haman's decrees on?
Mordechai.
Lo yuchav, lo yishtachaveh. And then the Jewish people said, it's all your fault. Of course, what was the real reason?
because there were Nenef in the
Because they, right? It was, we didn't connect the